Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're diving into Minnesota Vikings here. Next team up, new coaching staff, and a new GM as well. So out with the Spielman-Zimmer regime and in with the Kessi Adofu-Mensah, the new GM, and Kevin O'Connell, the new head coach. O'Connell off the McVay coaching tree there, was the OC there for McVay with the Rams. It's interesting that O'Connell is the second of Tom Brady's backups to become a head coach in the NFL. The first, Cliff Kingsbury, was a backup for a time, and then Kevin O'Connell as well. So interesting there in terms of like just the arc of Brady's career. Pretty remarkable stuff. I'm not sure how much we can know about this team and the impacts of this team until the Cousins thing is settled. There's some aspects of me that could go either way on it. He has a $45 million cap hit this year. They save nothing by cutting him. They owe him all the money. If they trade him, they can save, they can save basically $10 million of that cap hit. They could potentially structure that a number of different ways to make it so that way they don't, they would retain a $10 million cap hit. So they would save $35 million. I said that backwards. So they would save $35 million on the cap by trading him. There is some thought out there that they could restructure that the way that is, right? They would take the $10 million cap hit and pass on $35 million worth of cap hit to a team they traded him to. There's some thought out there that one of the things that they could negotiate in a trade is that they restructure his contract in a way that actually increases the amount of dead cap that they would keep. And they would do that through changing the salary and the bonus structure of it and passing on lesser of a cap hit basically in exchange for draft compensation. So I'm sure that stuff is all being thought out. This is an analytics-friendly – this is probably the first analytics-based, non-cap or non-scouting GM. Right. He didn't come from either of those lanes, right? He came from, it's more of a finance lane, and then converts over, was in San Francisco, then with the Browns, and now here we are. So, it's if a team is going to do this, right? This is almost essentially like the reverse Brock Osweiler. When Brock Osweiler was traded, he was basically traded for a second round. It was basically Brock Osweiler and a second round pick to basically eat the contract. And there's some thought that was what happened with Jared Goff, right? That Jared Goff was traded basically, one of the first in that trade was to take the Goff contract. I'm not sure how much I believe that, but we've seen that idea trickle around. I'm sure, given the background of the Vikings GM, that they've thought this process out, right? I'm sure that's what they're doing the quote math on that. I don't know what I would do. I think it probably depends on what they think in terms of their arc. How close to contending they are. They could do some cap cleaning. They could certainly, figure out some ways to basically, clean up their balance sheet, if you will, trade Cousins, clean up some of their balance sheet, and sort of get themselves right going into the 2023 season with a high pick, maybe with another pick from a Cousins trade, that sort of thing. I think that's certainly a possibility. I'm not going to say they go, quote, full process on this, but this is something I think that this is a team that if they took a little bit of medicine and tried to basically restructure the roster a little bit here over the next couple of years, they could do some damage with it. So I think that's all possible. I think it's equally possible that they try and restructure Cousins' contract, extend him, and keep him. I think much has been made about the Kevin O'Connell aspect of this, which is, hey, he coached Kirk Cousins when Cousins and all of them were in Washington. Like, that could go either way, right? I think that people are like, oh, that shows, hey, good relationship. They might hate each other. I mean, I don't know if we know that. Kirk Cousins doesn't seem like the greatest person to work with. I don't know, right? That's the common thought, is like, hey, he's, you know, this is O'Connell's guy. Like, part of that meeting could have been like, no, the first thing we're doing is trading Cousins, right? He's not, you know, I don't know that, right? But not every, I mean, just evaluate your own life for a second. Not every person that you work with is someone that you want to work with again. And if you cross paths again, you wouldn't be excited about it, right? So, I certainly know for me, right? I mean, if there was certain people in my life that I had to work with again, and I had the ability to either keep them or fire them, I'd fire them, right? Like, I mean, this is the NFL version of that, is trading the person or cutting them. I don't think they're going to cut them, but he is a valuable trade asset. So, you know, I think that situation is probably overblown in terms of, hey, they hired his guy, you know, you're gonna keep Cousins. I would sort of evaluate it on its own merits, would sort of be my thought. I do think Cousins really good. Number one, from a clean pocket. Last year on a first read, 0.26 EPA per play. The league average was 0.07. And it's interesting because Stafford was slightly better at 0.28. And this is some wonky PFF data that they have their 400 and some odd page quarterback annual. I was just diving through it, and it's some good stuff there for Cousins. So again, I don't necessarily think his situation's gonna get like a ton better in terms of it was a pretty efficient situation. There isn't a ton of low hanging fruit, if you will. I, you know, if you look at it in terms of dropbacks per game, they're 15th, 8th in terms of plays per game, 7th in terms of design rush rate, 23rd in terms of design pass rate. You could say, hey, look, you know, maybe there's a situation here where it's, you know, where they want to go out and, design rush rate was 7th, design rushes per game was 7th, design passes per game was 23rd. You know, there isn't a ton of super low-hanging fruit that I would say that they could do. I mean, maybe they become more pass-happy. I think coming from a McVay system, you probably doubt some of that would be what I would say. You know, some of the play-action stuff as well from Minnesota, you could say, hey, listen, like there could be an uptick. They were 18th last year at basically a quarter of their dropbacks or play action. And they did well on it, a good improvement as well, 8.8 yards per attempt. They were 27% over their non. So, again, that stuff is good. But when you look at the Rams, again, they were, you know, this is you're coming from a McVay system. How much exactly is O'Connell contributing? That's a big question. I'm not sure what the answer is to that. So we'll see there, right? But you know, it's coming from the same type of, it's coming from a system that he knows and sort of operates in. How much he's truly making the decisions is something that I doubt it's that high of a percent, because McVay is the play caller. But it's pretty similar. They 24.7% of their dropbacks was play action, is 21st play action. Like, they had 9.6 yards per attempt on play action. Again, that's better, but it's that same 27% range of that Minnesota operates in terms of improvement on play action over non-play action. So again, they've very much look similar in terms of some of that stuff. Again, I think a lot of the efficiencies are going to mirror each other. And so if there's going to be a change, I don't think it's a super it's a super big change. It's a very similar offense in terms of not running back centric, in terms of like routes run, for example. The Rams were actually 17th in routes run for the running back position. Minnesota ranked 29th. However, when you look at it, LA just didn't throw the ball to running backs, and Minnesota, you know, they were 30th or 31st in terms of targets, receptions per dropback, or yards per dropback, and Minnesota was in the, was at 25 for all of those things. So again, maybe a little bit better there, but this is a, you know, and you could argue that maybe Minnesota's running backs are better pass catchers. I would argue that, with Dalvin Cook in particular being a better pass catcher than what the Rams had to offer. So that could be a situation where, hey, maybe there's a little bit of pie growth for a guy like Dalvin Cook. I'm not sure Dalvin Cook's a guarantee to even be on this roster. If they were going to sort of try and clean it up, if they were going to trade Cousins or something like that, maybe they sort of make a move to clean up the Dalvin Cook aspect of the deal. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be thinking that's a favorite situation, but I wouldn't put it past them either, right? If they're, you know, going to come from an analytics build, that would be something that you would potentially lean into. So I do think there's opportunity for the running back there. I don't think it's probably a huge running back reception build, but coming from 29th in terms of routes to league median is helpful, right? That is helpful. LA ran a ton of three wides. They were second most in terms of wide receiver routes per drop back. Minnesota was 16th, so you figure maybe there's some opportunity there for some growth from an ancillary wide receiver, but that's going to be behind Jefferson, behind Thielen. That's the thought there. And they both weren't very much involved in the tight end game in the offense. So I think Irv Smith is one name to watch there coming back. What's their angle on Thielen as another one? Thielen has a big number at basically $17 million in cap. They could save like $6 million in cutting him. He is under contract through 2024. Next year, it gets a little bit more palatable to cut him in terms of the money. They could save like over $11 million of a basically $18 million cap number by cutting him next year. And then after the year after that, it gets even better. So, I mean, if they wanted to go into like a full-on kind of tear it down and take your medicine soon, like they could potentially go that route now, and they need to do some cleaning of their balance sheet. They absolutely need to do that. So I don't think Thielen's a cut guy. And again, if Cousins is there, Thielen's back would sort of be the calculus. If Cousins is gone, you know, maybe that changes the equation a little bit. Would be sort of what I would say. Thielen doesn't have any guaranteed money left, so that's something that you have to think about. He's probably in line for a restructure, and give him guarantee him some money this year or whatever, and restructure his deal would sort of be the guess that I would say he's in line for. So that'd be something I'd be watching here over the next month or so, especially leading up to the start of the new year. And all the way up through camp, if it doesn't happen then, right? I would be surprised if that number stays as high throughout the offseason as this right now. So those are really the big things to watch for. Again, I think, Madison's going to be fascinating because he's going to be a free agent after this year. And you're basically getting to a point where, we haven't had a ton of these where people actually get all the way through without getting a job as a day two running back. Toby Gerhart was really the last one that that comes to mind. Other guys have not gotten a full-time job, but kind of have failed. You think of like Royce Freeman in that sort of vein. He got beat out by Lindsey. It was never really a fair fight with Madison. So, that's really the notable, I think, deeper dynasty decision there. Conklin, what they're going to do at the tight end position. I think Conklin's a big difference maker. I think Irv Smith's probably overdone, and Conklin is a free agent as well. So we'll see there in terms of how all that goes. I'll be interested. I want to watch this team because I want to see what they do in terms of building. I'm really interested to see some of the decisions that they make in terms of team building, and what we can take from them. So that'll be really the big thing. I think Cousins is going to be a defining thing. Then what they do after Cousins is going to be, if they're not going to keep Cousins, like I would expect other moves to potentially clean up some of the stuff that they have to deal with on their depth chart. So they are over the cap as well. So you're going to have to make moves. Again, I think that's probably more worried about in our sphere than it probably is in the actual NFL sphere. It's $20 million. It's not that far. It's not that they don't have to really go that draconian of a change. And we're already seeing teams do their, you know, do their math in terms of, you know, do their housekeeping and figuring all that stuff out. They'll figure it out. I'm not super, I wouldn't be super, super concerned about it. And, you know, they don't need to do anything drastic to sort of figure this out. So, but yeah, so that'll pretty much do it for this. Again, Cousins is the big takeaway. I don't think the offense is going to change that much in terms of like production, in terms of how it goes. So I don't think you have many worries about a guy like Jefferson. I mean, unless they're starting, you know, Sean Mannion at quarterback, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. So we'll see. I would probably put it as a, I'd probably put them as an underdog to trade Cousins. But I wouldn't put it at a zero chance either. So we'll see. The PFF's projecting them to trade him to Carolina. So we'll watch for that in terms of how Carolina can continue to not fix their quarterback position or try to fix their quarterback position. And this would be the latest iteration of that. We'll see. I'm excited for that because we're gonna have to do like an ongoing series about that. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.